Yo, it's your boy KC. We back, 92 Bricks Podcast, episode 3.5. This is a Mo Bricks episode of the podcast, meaning we weren't able to get together this week. So we give you some hot extendo clips, some fire bonus footage for you guys to enjoy this week. But before I get into that, I want to make a very special announcement. We have sponsorship with one of my favorite brands out right now, Maybe Today, NYC. Maybe Today makes really cool t-shirts, hoodies, hats, pretty much you name it. Everything that you need to be fly this summer, they make it. And if you use offer code BRICKS, that's B-R-I-C-K-S, you'll get 30% off your order with Maybe Today NYC. So, you know, cop yourself something, go on vacation, look real cool, take pictures for the gram, and, you know, do it in some Maybe Today NYC. And make sure you use that offer code BRICKS for your 30% off Maybe Today NYC. Get you some shit. But in this episode, it's Mo Bricks episode of the podcast, we get into Lauryn Hill versus Missy. We talk about their legacies a bit. Nicki Minaj, independent artist. We talk about a lot of things. I won't ruin it too much. And matter of fact, I'll shut the fuck up right now and let you guys dive right into the episode. So enjoy episode 3.5, Mo Bricks edition of the 92 Bricks podcast. Peace.
Going a little bit of a different direction, KC, you said something kind of interesting the other day.
I doubt it.
And I had a pretty straightforward reaction. So why don't you...
All right, so I just want to go on the record as saying
you're about to say it. I'm excited.
That... Mystical is by far most polite rapper, I think, in history of the rap game.
So my immediate response was, didn't he rape somebody?
All right, he might have raped somebody. He was convicted for raping somebody. Which, all right, just because you get convicted for shit all the time, and I'm not saying that. Look,
Nixon is turning around. He's taking his mic and walking away. Like, don't unplug.
All right, so look. All right, in terms of
tell us what you mean.
So first and foremost,
is it because he said? All right, go ahead.
All right, look. So you listen to
I'm
shit.
I'm very excited to hear this.
You listen to shit.
I have no comment.
Right?
I'm not.
You listen to Shake It Fast, right? So let's think about this song, right?
Technically, Shake That Ass, but yeah.
Let's say Shake It Fast, right? Shake It Fast. Watch yourself. He's giving strippers instructions. He's like, you know what? I don't want you to hurt yourself. I want you to do it, right? Then he says, all right, he got rape charge, right? He said, I come in the club. Wait, hold on. I come in the club with my dick in my hand. He's letting y'all know, I don't want to put my foot in your ass. Be cool. Relax. Mm-hmm. All right. This is what I do. I ain't mad about it. No, I'm tripping. This is what I do. He's like, letting you know, look, this is what happens. I come in the club, my dick's in my hand, and this is just what I do. All right. Now shake your ass and watch yourself because my dick is out. He's giving you so much context. Niggas don't do that shit no
yes,
more.
Yes, you're right. He's giving us context that he later would be charged with rape. You're correct. Look, there was plenty of context.
All I'm saying is,
they used that on the stand, Your Honor. The defendant said that he walked into a gentleman's establishment with his penis, his flaccid penis in his hand.
We should laugh about this. Bro. We should laugh.
Look,
this is by far your worst take. Like, I mean, the levels.
I love it. I also love that you can have this take, but get mad at me for fucking semantics about saying I was,
And no disrespect to the young lady.
No, we're not laughing about him.
The lady who got you know, whatever happened, that's crazy.
Yeah, and but, I mean, he served his time. Yeah. He, you know.
All I'm saying is, this nigga gave instructions, bro. He said, shake your ass, but watch yourself.
Wasn't he saying watch yourself in more of like an ironic, like, don't fuck around and get fucked? isn't that really what he's talking about?
Look, can we just on a separate side note, the women in that video, do you remember that video?
Yes. That's the first time I've ever seen Pharrell's face. I didn't know who Pharrell was before, but Pharrell was in that video. And he was in there just like playing the drums on bitches' butts and shit.
Better song, Shake Your Ass, Shake It Fast, or
I Just Wanna Love You?
Up Against the Wall.
What's up against the wall?
Shake it fast.
Keep bouncing me against the wall.
Shake it fast. Oh,
you ain't seen bouncing back. I love that.
Nah, definitely shake it fast. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah,
like you got that. What's that?
I'm going with the contrarian take.
What's that, the school
what is that?
Oh, no, it was bigger.
What is that instrument that's driving that beat? That dun, 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 dun.
The like, Neptune's what, instrument?
But what, yeah, what is that? Is that like a banjo? Like, what the fuck?
Maybe.
I don't know. I just always love that sound.
Nah,
you know, when Mystical came back out and he signed with Cash Money, he actually had some good songs, some good
verses. Watch the Bear!
He never went anywhere.
He had a run, though.
You remember that Watch the Bear shit?
Nah.
You remember him saying, he was like, if I get in a fight with a bear... Oh,
Watch the bear! You're right. That wasn't a song.
You know what's crazy? This one blow your mind. If y'all watch the video for it, guess who's in the video for that shit? Who's sitting right next to Mystical
Watch
in the video?
Bear?
In the Watch the Bear freestyle.
I don't know.
Simone that used to run the source.
Simone, no fucking way.
I swear to God. No, right next to
Boss Lady?
Boss Lady's in that video.
She's been around, man.
Wow.
But it bugged me out because this was while I was working for
that video so well. So
no,
I was gone by the time you guys dealt with her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, while we were there still, I watched the video and I saw her right next to him. I was like, what the fuck?
I think it was, wasn't that just because
it might have been Sway or some shit?
Yeah, yeah. She used to be on Green Lantern. Because she'd be like, Green Latin.
I actually got to shout her out. She just had a baby.
Oh shit. Shout out to Simone, Boss Lady, Amelia.
That's my big homie from down under.
So another thing you said that you said you'd explain, I was very interested, was Lauren versus Missy. All
right. Let's talk about Lauren versus Lauryn Hill versus Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott, whose album I think turned like 20 this Missy.
The debut.
Which one? Misdemeanor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Misdemeanor or Super Duper Fly?
No, Super Duper Fly.
Well, I didn't really have a take here.
Miss E's So Addictive, arguably one of the most underrated classic albums of the 2000s.
Great album.
Oh, yeah, you guys tried to sell me on this.
Production on that is...
So, it wasn't necessarily a take. I actually wanted to just have a conversation. But in terms of female rappers...
It's an interesting question because they're both female artists. They're just artists, forget female. They're both artists who had such a peak... And then just kind of didn't.
But whose peak was longer?
I think Missy's easily has the
right
career.
But if you think about
Lauren. I mean, Lauryn Hill. Don't forget, Lauryn Hill. I think had like the most Grammys for a female artist, in one sitting. Like she hit highs.
She's still touring off that shit. Missy, Missy's still relevant.
That's an interesting point.
Missy had more hits. If you look at it, right, and you put up against the board, and you're about to see a Missy Elliott concert and a Lauryn Hill concert, mm-hmm. Lauryn Hill has less content to go off of.
Way less.
Missy Elliott has like years of fucking hits.
You know what I think part of it is, and I'm going to give a couple quick prefaces here. I saw Lauryn Hill at Rock the Bells years ago, and I love her music. I didn't really enjoy it because she does what some artists do, a lot of like rock and roll
remixes
artists
and shit.
I hate it. Yeah. She did doo-wop, that thing, and it was like not weird.
She does it for
like,
some reason. I heard this too at the Radio City show I think she did last year. One of the homies Calvin,
was that
Calvin,
the one she did with Chappelle?
With Chappelle.
Yeah.
And she pretty much
She just
does a remix of every song instead of the real version. It's like you come there to hear the real version.
Is there something to that? Like, does she have issues with masters or something?
I think I don't know if it's that. I think it's more or less like she doesn't want to be performing the same song. She wants to give somebody something
new
to hear.
But that's the only
hear.
Thing people give a fuck about her for still.
Nixon, you went to... SZA does that a little bit too, right? She does different variations. You saw her live.
Yeah, but it'll be more
I haven't seen her live.
It'll be more like... it'll be less of a remix and more of just like an alternate transition or something like that.
Okay.
Like
so maybe the song still sounds like...
Maybe she'll do the second verse of Doves in the Wind over the wavy interlude instrumental instead of, and then she'll just transition into that. So but it's not really so much like that.
I think the thing with Missy, the really subtle aspect when you talk about live shows, is I think there's just something about the type of music Missy makes is hard.
Animated.
It's hard to translate live.
You think Missy's music's hard to translate live?
I think it's hard for her to perform it live without it just being like dancing with a track in the background.
I think I can't disagree more. Because if you think about every music, because when I see Missy or when I hear Missy's song, I see the music video for it, right?
So I agree.
I Can't Stand the Rain. I see her doing the I Can't Stand the Rain dance. I think of Work It. I think of the music for that. I don't know if it's never fed yet. What song is that? Whatever it's called.
Work It.
That's not Work It. That's never song. Oh no, not that song. I'm thinking of the other one. That song. I see the music video. Everybody dancing that shit. So it's like she has to me.
But this is my thing. When she's performing that song, what is she doing? she's rapping. They're not really like rappity rap songs. They're,
I think you can remember the worst ass song Betty can remember. A
you
drop that
you thing can, I ones. Can. But yeah, but Lauryn Hill sings. There's always, listen, the one, the for years, the knock on live rap music, and I still think it's there, is it's just different than sung music. Like there's something about, you could be walking down the street, and if a girl with a good voice starts singing, it catches your ear. If I'm walking down the street and some dude starts rapping, you really got to catch my attention, man. Like it's just, I just think there's something about it, and maybe I'm not articulating the Missy point properly, but I just think what Lauryn has over Missy is she sings. She's a singer. You know, she raps, and also, Lauryn Hill's maybe the best female rapper ever. Also, if we're keeping it a book.
I mean,
Missy's not really much of a rapper.
I think people sleep on the fact that Missy can sing pretty fucking well. She taught Aaliyah how to sing one, two. Everything about Beat Me 911 and shit, she sang really well on that.
If you, best wait, friend. What song?
Beat Me 911. Beat Me 911 and call me on the cell phone. I'm gonna
do it. Okay.
That's yeah. one. And then also, Best right. Friends, which J. Cole used on the first album, he used the same.
That is a hell of a J. Cole
Missy,
song.
No, Missy is Missy Elliott, Best Friends. I think he calls it Best Friends on his album as well.
That which is a album? Hell of a J. Cole
song. Oh, no, the first album, Friday Night. No, not Friday Night.
No, it's on Friday Night.
It is?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all right. So it's on Friday Night.
Okay.
But Missy can actually
she can
legit sing.
No,
she
doesn't do it more often.
She can get one off, but you know, if you go to a Missy Elliott show and you name the five songs you want
to
hear.
It's weird to me that Lauryn went on hiatus and is like known. Honestly, as recent as this week, she didn't show up at a Toronto show for like an hour and 30 minutes.
Although she's known for being difficult. Well, it might not be fair, but she's
fucking tickets. And it's like Missy Elliott, it's like, she could be touring, she should be touring, and it's like,
I think she's.
Well, she went through some stuff too. Don't forget, like there was the depression. She had some depression issues. I think some. You remember when she put out that WTF song with Pharrell?
Yes.
What the Fun or something like that.
Yeah, it really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, it did technically. Like it charted really well, but no one really, you know,
took to it.
It didn't really. Yeah, it didn't
right
really
initially
like
maybe just because of the name recognition.
And it was nostalgic.
I thought I'd seen her say recently that, you know, part of the reason those, like, even before that, you remember when she really had a chance to have a second leg. I was in high school. I don't really know where you guys might have been at the time. But
yeah.
Remember Chang Chang? Chang Chang.
Chang over there,
That to me could have been a huge.
It was big. What do you mean?
No, it wasn't as big as a lot of us. Like Minuteman, there's a lot of songs we could think of.
There's no
she's
video.
A bitch.
She didn't.
There's no video for Chang Chang?
There's no video. I don't think there's a video. She didn't tour it live. She didn't do any like major late night. And I'm like, that to me could have been her biggest hit since like.
There's a video apparently.
There's a video.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
But it's for Step Up 2. It was a Step Up 2 album song.
Yeah, and like. I almost. Oh, okay. Because that makes sense because.
Right, it wasn't from an album.
At the height of the song, I felt like there should have been a video. So the fact that it's a movie soundtrack makes sense. They probably tried to salvage it.
She also had Shake Your Pom Pom from this album.
Yeah, I remember. But that album never came out.
So I think. So to your general question, who has the better legacy? That's tough. I don't know.
Because I think
they both died tomorrow. Like, who's the? I mean, I think Lauryn Hill reached higher heights.
I think as a female rapper in an all male group besides herself.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, she wraps circles around both of niggas.
Lauryn Hill might be the best. Is that crazy?
Female rapper? No,
she might be the best female rapper.
Because if you think about it, I mean, Wyclef not a great rapper, Prod's not a great rapper, but.
No.
It's like what she was able to do. She was like the best rapper in the fucking group,
she might have been
the best rapper. She was definitely the best female rapper of that era,
and she also was like one of the greatest singers.
No,
ever.
I'm thinking,
like it's crazy.
Is she really the best female rapper of all time?
Who's better?
Is she better?
Who you are?
Skill wise,
I'm thinking. Yeah,
skill wise,
I'm just asking.
Well, there's someone who claims it that we're going to talk about in a minute, but I don't think she's holding a candle.
Who's
wait
that?
Not.
I mean,
nah.
Nicki Minaj. I don't know.
Let's keep going.
She's the most pop. Who's so? Listen, who skill wise? Who's the most skilled female rapper of all time? I think it might be Lauryn Hill.
It got to be. I think it really comes down to Lauryn and Missy because I think
Missy's not a rapper.
Missy has.
Stop.
If you think about like
rapping. You can't mean Missy.
Because you know what? I thought of Sock It To Me, and then I thought of the Pratt verse. Sock It To Me. Yeah, I was like, yeah, nah, the Pratt kind of.
Who else? I mean, Rhapsody, Jean Grey. Like, who are really
Rhapsody's
great?
I'd say
Rhapsody
is definitely up there. I think Tierra Whack, who we wanted to talk about.
Tierra
Whack. If y'all listen to her, I think that
you
she.
Think her rapping abilities?
Yes, bro.
Yo, you watch that freestyle?
So,
I can't believe we can't find that freestyle. That
I think I'll find a time. Maybe I'll see if I can post, like, throw the freestyle in here somewhere so y'all can hear at least a snippet of it. I need the rap, I keep my team intact. I seen your rap get left behind like I don't really need your backup. I don't have to shoot, I get booked like the Babadook. Trapping on every avenue, close shop, I take a stab at you. What would you rather do? They asking what Wack would do. You like camera? You don't want
want no action. Do it, I pack the tool and grab my boobs and squeeze that nigga for attitudes. Recognize the magnitude, the damage is collateral. Level up like a ladder do, you square like quadrilateral. You the ringleader, but can't find a chick to marry you. I'm focused, open up my wallet, pack the tokens, so I can bar up and start boasting. Put my plan in motion, you don't want no beef, Frank Ocean. Boasting, ludicrous on potion, posting pictures, pictures posted. My old sister tried to sue me, you see how family do me. I hope my daddy see this, I'm the meanest. I hope he wakes up without a penis. Tierra Wax the meanest, Adidas is where my feet is. Punch you in your
cutting. Tierra Whack is a female rapper from, I believe, Philly, who Philly. Who she recently put out an album called Whack World. The genius behind it is that it's 15 songs. Each song is 1 minute long. Very unique songs. Every song sounds different. And the genius behind it is that she was able to use her Instagram to post a video for each song, because Instagram, before Instagram TV came out recently, had the limitation of one minute per video. So she was able to put every song on her Instagram in its entirety and the video for it in its entirety, which is...
She managed to do the rare combination of a genius gimmick, but with really good shit. Like, right. it's not just a gimmick. Right. Like, it's a genius gimmick with great quality.
Yeah, and she's lyrically, she's amazing. Her videos, her visuals are amazing.
Yeah, she's from Philly.
Yeah, so I'm just honestly just taken aback by...
When the year's over, you're going to see that album on my top 10.
Her rapping ability. And she can sing pretty well, too.
The day it came out, Solange was like hyping her on Twitter.
She's incredible. Like,
the day it came out, even though she was really a nobody at the time.
I could see, I can already see her like tapping into like one of the being a creative director for like a Puma or something like that, having sneakers named after her. I don't know. I just see that there's a very high ceiling for her rapping ability, her creativity, and the interesting thing is that even as a rapper who's not yet really made it, it seems like someone is behind her very strongly with her visuals, because her visuals
it's so well put together. I had that thought. It's like, I kind of wonder
what's it called, dystopian.
Dystopian.
Wow, that was crazy. Dystopian. I'm definitely editing that shit.
Dystopian.
But it's definitely I can't say the word no more.
Dystopian.
Very dystopian in the look.
I think that's all her, too.
Really? That's impressive.
I wouldn't buy that. Because
how old is she?
I'm not going to lie. A little inside.
She's got to be young. I don't know. I think you had her up, right? I think she's got to be like 22, 23. I think she's fairly young.
I get the feeling she's a little older than she gives off.
Really?
Well, that's like
I wouldn't be surprised if she was after 20, like a little older than 24.
I think she's about 23, 24. I'd be shocked if here she's like older
than that. In her freestyle video, she looked really young. But yeah, I think that's really all her, because I remember, I was telling you guys this earlier, I remember when she came by the Mass Appeal, what was dubbed as the Mass Appeal Manor down in South by Southwest, mm-hmm. when there were a bunch of artists coming through there, publicists, managers, et cetera, just having small talk conversations. And I remember when she was introduced to us, it was really, you know, it didn't feel like there was this big campaign behind her. Even if there was, it just didn't feel like it was the type of thing that was really being orchestrated, you know, from like, you know, front to back. It was really like, you know, here's this girl, she's got some cool ideas, mm-hmm. hear her out. And then all of a sudden she's got this whole, you know, production that, you know, I get the feeling really, really did.
The funny thing about her is that she's another person that Distorta put me onto, because she kept posting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could see that.
She kept posting her videos and shit, and I'm like, who is this girl? And it was beyond like the other stuff that she posts. It was like, her visuals were so vivid that I'm like, she's signed. Like, she has to be something more than just a regular rapper. Like, she must be signed. I must just be unaware of her. But then I saw that she's still kind of in the beginning stages of her career, and I was like, wow. Like,
she is signed though. Just for
the record. Yeah, she is now. Yeah,
what's she signed to?
Interscope.
Yeah,
but real quick, do you guys notice the obsession? And maybe this is an old thing that's just brought to light now because of, I guess, the popularity of social media. But do you guys notice the obsession of artists that are clearly and legally signed, VME claiming that they're not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
Chance started that.
No. I don't think he started that.
Chance didn't start that?
Chance isn't signed.
Is he really not signed?
Yeah, he's not signed.
No, he's not signed. I mean, he makes bread.
I'm not sitting here like he's the true independent artist, because honestly, that's a fuck of a conversation.
Yeah, he's not signed. I was like, Macklemore and Chance started the whole, I'm not signed.
Well, no, Macklemore was signed. Macklemore had
what I'm saying.
Macklemore had major label distribution. He just
I feel like back then, like literally the same year, Man of the Year for The Source and Rookie of the Year, Chance Macklemore cover, I feel like that was the year when everybody was, oh, I'm not signed.
Sure, but what you're talking about more is like The Weeknd, for example, who... eventually put out his three-part mixtape on Republic,
right
as he a did. Trilogy, but there is a very, very, very solid chance that he was basically signed, like, pretty much from House and Balloons on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and there's like, a lot of artists like that.
21 Savage put out an album.
Well, yeah, he straight up admitted it.
Look, yo, like, literally the introduction of that album, there's a rap that says... Like the song
ain't
is called
shining
the,
no label.
The song is called No Advance because he has no label deal, and in the song he talks about like the semantics of him not having a label
and
deal.
And yet he had one.
And that album was released on Epic Records. Yes. And like
it's bullshit.
I just thought it was funny that like so even more recently, with Rico Nasty.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
so familiar. I'm so unfamiliar. I keep seeing
Rico
her.
Rico Nasty is
seeing her. But I'm not.
She's got
I'm
the
not.
Hardest song of the year.
Yo,
the
she
one
is.
With the Super
really?
Thug
Yo,
beat.
She is.
What's
she raps over Super Thug?
Yo,
she's
sold.
Oh, I'm sold.
She's same hot. Sample.
No, what's the sample? Is there a sample? I think there's a sample for Super Thug.
No, no. But then it samples Super Thug.
Okay, yeah. Let's take.
No, you're right. That's just like Neptune.
NERD. Yeah, I mean Neptune's. Yeah.
But like Rico Nasty, like to the point where
it's called.
I'm like
the second track.
I'm literally being told in emails like make sure there's no mention of our label.
What is her label?
Atlantic. And that's like
I mean it's pretty clear. You go to her Wikipedia.
It's very
it's right
clear.
There, like,
but it's like so to me it's weird. So to
why,
me,
but what's the why?
Because of the
why would a label do it though? Why I'm asking is why
labels
would
aren't stupid. They know the appeal is like
right.
Listen, people still even in today's day and age, maybe more than ever, love the idea of like ooh, like there's this undiscovered talent.
But that's dumb.
Let me put
no,
but
that's
think, always been.
Think about. Right, wait, hold on. Just
you
to,
say that's dumb.
Wait, just to set the stage, right?
You gotta
right.
think.
So wait. Okay. So for a label, right? Let's say you see that people like the idea of people saying that they're not signed to labels,
yep.
Which you are. You're a label. Why would you help promote that, even if it helps you, when the actual sentiment is being anti-label?
Because
eventually...
Because they don't care about anything but money.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is, but eventually that's going to lead to your demise.
No,
why would you
no,
do
it's
that?
Not.
You don't
no,
think
it's
so?
Not.
Why not?
Because
why would you?
Because the machine is too powerful.
If you have a bunch of kids believe that they don't need a label, eventually you're not going to need a label. Because honestly, most people don't. They use SoundCloud.
The machine is way too powerful. You can only get so far on SoundCloud.
So
and now SoundCloud has deals with Universal so to make it even more difficult for you to blow up without their help.
And you ask why a label would do that. It's because it's what they've been doing and it's been working. So it's, I mean, even, listen, I want to say, off the top of my head, I'll have trouble coming up with an example. But like, I want to say that this isn't anything new. It was happening in the 90s and such. You know what the only difference was? Back then, people didn't care about this shit.
Yeah.
They heard new songs on the radio by a rapper they never heard of. They thought it was cool. Absolutely, that rapper was signed to somebody because you couldn't
get on the radio
without being
right.
signed. I think nowadays, just the conversation. To me, the real question is, I don't understand why you need a label really in any regard when like you can put your music on streaming on your own. Like, I don't understand why. I get why some artists want to be on a label, and it makes complete sense. But if you're an artist that has a following, like if I'm Drake, right? Apparently Drake re-signed with Republic. He's now on the same, with Warner. He's now basically the same thing he was, just not through Cash Money.
Mm-hmm.
If I am Drake, I don't see any reason why I need a label. I literally could just upload my music. Do you understand how much money Drake would make if he just put his own music up on streaming?
Absolutely.
He sold his own music. Like,
you know who did that shit before that? Ryan Leslie. And made millions of dollars literally uploading his music to his site and having people buy it.
I don't know how much money Ryan Leslie actually made.
No. I'll tell you, that's what he said. That's
he's
what he
out,
said.
He's out selling a super phone. Have you ever heard this thing?
I don't know.
He has
about
this
that.
Thing called the super phone. It's basically a fucking bot. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard of. The whole concept is like, I'll give you my phone number and then you're like in my direct connection with me.
The fuck?
But I'll give it to 20,000 people.
Yeah, no. So this
sounds
is,
cool.
This is actually a weird glitch. Aisha, who created our album art, shout to Aisha. She was an intern for Ryan Leslie and she got me on his. He literally emails you about his. It was called like Black Basquiat. Oh no, not Black Basquiat. Black Mozart.
I know you're talking,
yeah. So I was like on the email list for everything, and she was like really promoting it and stuff. And I think that he was one of the first people to kind of do the like DIY. I'm gonna put my album.
He was
out
on a label though.
Him and Louis C.K. do it too. Louis C.K. started doing that shit. He had a website where you could only buy his shit.
Perfect point to my Drake point. Louis C.K. did that. After he
peak,
had
yeah.
right, he was
yeah,
smart.
Huge,
he capitalized, and
huge.
Also the Rico Nasty song. It's not Counting Up. What's it called? I can't find it.
Counting Up is the one for me. I love
that's
that
the
song.
One with the Super Thug.
Oh, no! I don't know the name of it. I just know.
I'll look it up.
I just kind of throw that mixtape.
I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that it's in a label's best interest to continue. All I'm saying is that the music game has changed so much. 10 years ago, we were not streaming yet. I mean, I had like Rhapsody and shit, but like, I was like one of the very few people who was streaming music.
Right.
And it changes so quickly and so like I don't see it in their benefit to continue to try to push this narrative of people not being inside the labels, and I see it to be a detriment. I think eventually
it will lead to a lot simpler.
You got to think about it from a fan's perspective. How many of your favorite artists actually got cooler after they got signed?
Yeah.
Like, it's a really short list.
Yeah, there's no appeal to you, to people knowing that you signed to Def Jam.
Actually, Def Jam might be at some points in history the one exception, because it was kind of cool.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or Cash Money, I mean, like, or Rock.
It's like, it's not cool, but
what I'm saying, there,
like, yeah, but like, but a major, like Atlantic, no one's like, oh, he's on Atlantic, that's so cool.
But yeah, they're aware of that dynamic, and right, that's what they're toying with.
Yeah, it's, I think, like, it's just that it's that simple. It's like, if we know that our artist is like, you know, big on the scene, you know, I'm right, using like corny terms because I'm trying to sound like a label, and we know that making it public that they're signed makes them less cool. It's just that simple. Then, yeah, we don't make it public. You know, speaking of someone who is the opposite of not signed, who does so many label-y things, you brought up to me, KC, that you thought it was crazy that this artist I'm about to say has an album coming out in August and yet has like put out the like pre-release since like June, and that's Nicki Minaj.
Wow. Nicki Minaj.
Eh.
So
who wants to start?
I don't even know where to start.
I don't even know.
But what is the question that has to be answered about Nicki Minaj?
I think it is,
she's done, right? Not done, like obviously she's relevant, but like her career is clearly on the downward. It's and only maybe downward, going down fast.
Yeah, and it's on, yeah, it's definitely on, it's on a lifeline. Like it's like 1 minute away from dying, it feels like.
Yeah, it could
and it seems be. Like, and it seems like if she does the wrong thing, that it could literally be like it for her. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like in a vacuum, we have things such as Cardi B's rise to prominence, right, and very organic rise to prominence, mm-hmm, opposed to...
Very authentic.
Very authentic, opposed to Nicki Minaj's Barbie and all the Wonder, mm-hmm, Woman thing she did with Beat Me Up Scotty, all that stuff. It's like she used a lot of gimmicks to get where she is, if we're, yeah, honest. And Cardi B,
do you think her talent was overblown? I'm sorry to cut you off, but like, yeah, to the point of she used a lot of gimmicks. I don't think anyone would debate.
I don't know if it was overblown. I think at the moment, because the first time I heard Nicki Minaj was over the Can't Stop, Won't Stop beat on Drop 3 by Lil Wayne. That's the first time I ever heard her rap. And I was like, oh, she's nice. like for a female rapper, which is bad.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually didn't like her on that.
I did. I loved it. I was like, yeah, she's bodying this. And okay, then, but what I was saying was that Cardi B was literally just a stripper, Instagram funny person, like kind of in the Vine kind of realm of things. Not really even, I didn't know she rapped at all. I thought she was just a stripper who
was
very funny initially on, yeah, Vine. And you know, we all kind of gravitated her through her realness, and it's like, it's kind of very polar opposites. I think, right, we're kind of leaning more towards an authentic appeal.
So
in terms of people,
are you implying that part of Nicki's fall off is not her fault? Because I think most people would say, shit, this is all her fault.
I think
fault.
It's absolutely her fault.
I think
what's the percentage her fault to just like the just like trend.
It's hard to say when you sign to Cash Money what is your fault and what isn't, because you don't know what she was forced to do. And think about it, you know what I mean? You don't know what she was forced to do in terms of image and shit like that. Eh. Maybe the Barbie thing was something that, like, there was someone in the office like, yo, this is what you're going to do.
They gave her a while.
Well, I just think the one thing she can control, she's not even doing that.
What was that?
Like, the raps aren't good.
I don't think that's the one thing because I think back then
well,
that's my question, is what matters most.
But I'm saying, even if there was a situation where it's like, okay, her, maybe she doesn't have complete creative control over her image, maybe her distribution, right, is fucked up, maybe Cash Money,
at least rap good,
maybe Cash Money's infrastructure is set up, so
but,
yeah, she,
but this is what fucks up that narrative, is you and I, Nixon, would agree. See, so often it's like, yeah, you know, Nicki hasn't done anything dope in a while. Meanwhile, like, the Pink Print was very good.
But
was it?
It was. Very. In my opinion.
I didn't listen to it completely. Right? I remember when it came out.
But guess this,
like, to
thing.
Me, it was the prototype of what I would want a Nicki Minaj.
Truffle Butter was on it?
But it didn't. Like, yeah, but that was like a bonus.
That shit's fire.
Actually, right, Truffle Butter. But this the reason I mention it is because when you talk about, it's kind of similar to the whole like Future narrative, which is like, Future started making good music with Monster, but it's like, Honest might be his best album, but right, it didn't hit for Future till he started doing the mixtape.
Sure.
With Nicki, part of the narrative is like, she's fallen off over the last like 4 years, and it's like, in the last four years, she dropped, in my opinion, what's easily her best project, but it doesn't really matter. Like, if she's still been on this decline. Now since then, she's put out a lot of songs that are not that great, you know. A lot of the songs, I think the problem
is. And some good ones, though. Or at least tell the people, not to me personally, like, but I know Chun-Li did, which I think is trash. I think it's not a good song.
And
it's
honestly, bad. So do the masses. It hasn't panned out.
I mean,
there's
a faction of people that worship that song. Yeah, there's people who love that shit.
Smaller faction than it was.
It's the smallest I've ever seen.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'll get, yeah, for sure. What was the other song? It was Chun-Li and something else
came out. Barbie Tings.
But before we talk about this run of singles, don't feel like this is what really popped in my head when I started thinking about what's so different and what's so much flatter about this Nicki rollout than past.
Yep.
This is Nicki's second run at putting this album out.
Yes.
That's never happened to her before.
Let's be clear. The first run was last year. She put out three songs. One had Wayne and Drake
Which was dissing Remy.
Yep.
I mean, the Cash Money Posse cut, you're pulling out all the stops. Yep. Right? Like, that's the joint that...
And you're dissing... You have a diss track with Lil Wayne and Drake, and no one gave a shit.
In the middle of the summer.
After a week.
Video, everything.
Yeah.
And it was just...
It's a weird-ass video. By the way, Drake looks like a fucking weirdo.
It was the quintessential Nicki Minaj starter pack, right? You have the Cash Money song, you have the R&B adjacent joint, and then you have
right. What were the other songs? Just, like Bed of Lies or something?
Bed of Lies. No, that's the one she has now with Ariana. I forgot.
No, it's not. That's Bed.
Oh wow.
My bad.
She likes beds. Nicki Minaj likes beds.
That's you know what's funny. I think you start to realize when someone's desperate when they go to their quote unquote bread and butter like. But they overbred it. Like right now, she has two songs with Ariana Grande.
Dog.
They have a Nicki song featuring Ariana, then they have an Ariana song featuring Nicki.
Who's calling who?
The better song.
Who do you think is calling who?
Oh, definitely Nicki Minaj calling Ariana Grande. 100,000. The better song is the Ariana Grande featuring Nicki song, right. In my opinion.
Can we just talk about Ariana Grande has turned herself into a legitimate motherfucking like queen of R&B? Can you believe that?
I think she's turned herself into a legitimate like world star hip hop. Ariana Grande is like she's now known almost more for her like tabloid actions, and
she's also very good at black tweeting. Did you see her tweet when she was like, remember when I fingered the earth? I thought that was great.
I thought you were gonna say when she like talked about like Pete.
Oh, I think. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Pete Holmes, like Pete Davidson having a big dick or something. She tweeted that. I was like, this is not the girl from Boca Raton.
She stepped up the ratchet. I'm proud of her.
No, she's talented. But with Nicki, like, it seems obvious to me that she knows, man, the writing's on the wall. And you know what's weird about it, though? Is Nicki has some good moves. Like, I love her on the Big Bang song. You love her on the Playboy Cardi song.
Oh, so good.
And obviously she knew there was something there because she performed that song on SNL. Like, when you put out two songs
and you perform the one that you're featured on,
you perform the one that you're featured on that came out that week.
And I'm sure she was advised to do that strongly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she wanted to do her records, and they were like, this is the one.
Because to be honest,
I like her on the Post Malone.
If I think about Chung Lee on SNL, I've been on. It's just repeating the same. It's like it's not going to sound as good.
I mean, she
TV.
Did it. So just for clarity, Chung Lee is number 89 this week.
Oh my god.
And its peak was 10, but I'm fairly sure that
was the week of release.
The week after, because the first week was. So this is the question, Nicki. Let's say Nicki puts out a classic album.
Not happening.
Let's just say
not
it does.
Not happening. I'm judging a book by the cover, and I'm judging a book
literally
because that's the
what is that
album
cover? What is that cover?
I think I put that. It looks like Lion King. It looks like Lion King on Broadway, but like Broadway and Bushwick.
What is that title?
Like that shit looks so fucking bad, bro. Like
what is that title too?
Queen.
What is that?
What Queen?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, even
the Queen of what?
Obviously, but I'm just like. What?
Wait, you know what's funny?
This is your first album in 4 years.
To be honest, the whole Queen line is played.
That's what I'm saying.
Kim calls herself the Queen back in fucking 98.
Wait, can I tell you something ironic and glitchy? So she is the 89th song in the Billboard 100 with Chun-Li. Okay. The number 90 song is a song by someone named Queen Naja.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
It's a song called Medicine. I don't know.
Wow.
Probably some upstart who a year from now is going to be more relevant than Nicki Minaj.
Yo, Nicki is in a position.
So she can't do anything then, is that what you're saying?
It's okay. Well, I just think she doesn't.
It's over for her.
What's the over under of her ability to, with this album, gain traction that she had or lost?
I don't see it happening.
I don't see it. I see it for her. I think she's done too. I think
she's moved on to acting.
She's taken too many steps back.
But what was the step back? Like, what do you think is what
the step back?
What's her fall from grace, Nixon?
I think it's the music she's been putting out for the last 4 years. I think it's just becoming like I mean, Pinkprint was excellent.
But also remember that Pink Print was created over the course of a couple of years. So when it came out...
And the singles weren't excellent. Right. That's another subtlety.
When it came out, you know, we might have been hearing a Nicki that was already 1 or 2 years outdated.
Yeah. Yeah, shit.
And it shows in the last 4 years.
But why is it happening to her? She's such a higher tier artist.
How does everything right after the very best thing you put out in your career suck so...
Can I throw something out there? Can I throw something out there, too?
Yeah.
In a day and age when... You mentioned this before, KC, where, like, someone who's winning is Cardi B, and one of the things that works for her is her authenticity, and with that, like, people like her, right?
Yeah.
So is what's hurting Nicki Minaj the fact that she seemingly isn't a great person, and, like, we've seen that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that does
I was going to get to that next, actually.
Or not help, but hurt,
right.
I think. I wanted to talk about... I mean, because Cardi... I think what also helped Cardi a lot is that we saw Cardi, like, we watched Cardi come up. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew of Nicki's come up.
People forget about that.
Like, and if you were a super user, you knew about Nicki on, like, the come up, the mixtape videos and all that stuff. But, like...
That was a small...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Cardi B's come up, you felt a part of it. Like, you felt like you contributed to it. And then, you know, it makes it a lot easier to root for her, even if the music isn't, you know, top tier. With Nicki now, it almost like there's a level of arrogance and I think entitlement that she carries now.
Yeah,
that further veers people. Like people look at Cardi like, oh shit, she's just like me trying to get by. They look at Nicki like stomping on everything.
In her path. Look at the thing that happened this month. You know, with Nicki responding for context. You know, she basically there was an intern for who worked in some capacity.
Her name was Juana's World. Shout out to Juana's
World. Yeah, mm-hmm. Who worked in some capacity for Karen Civil, famous manager, tastemaker, blog, whatever.
Former Dipset intern. Stole $60,000 from Cameron.
Yeah, according to Cameron.
Crazy. So wow.
So you know, basically, Juana's World had this pretty, in my opinion, pretty harmless tweet, just saying like, imagine if Nicki made music.
Imagine if Nicki rapped.
Say it again.
Imagine if Nicki rapped good.
That's that wasn't it. It was about the content. It was imagine if Nicki made music that was like about her life.
She used the term mature.
And not predicated on you know, gimmicks. And basically, Nicki like DM'd her twice. You know, just fuck you, bitch. I mean, I'm not gonna read them, but just
I mean, how incriminating?
Petty.
Like how self incriminating is that?
And just how
it's tasteless.
And how weak is your mental that like. You feel the need to do that.
I don't know. KD be doing that shit too, bro. Kevin Durant.
It's true. The shit that girl was saying was facts.
And Kevin Durant is looked at as kind of a weak person.
Yeah, no, he's
like, let's keep it real.
Y'all ever seen the screenshot of his Black Panther page?
No, I
yes.
haven't.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Classic.
He's like,
is that on me?
He's like, I'm looking for the youngins. I'm like, what the fuck? He's like,
wait, was it a MySpace or Black Planet?
It was Black Planet.
No, Black Planet.
And he's like, yo, I'm KD. I'm looking for the youngins. If you're a youngin, holla. I'm like, what you mean, bro? What is that? The youngins.
Yo, up until
he was like underage.
Up until he went to the Warriors, his Twitter bio was, I'm me, I do me, and I chill. In all caps.
No, I mean, he might be the most like openly weak super athlete ever. I mean,
he's the tallest bitch in sports.
Tallest bitch.
Now, just for
he's taller than Brittany Griner.
What? Of course he's taller than Brittany Griner.
Of course he's tall. Yeah, you're almost tall.
That was a joke.
Just for full disclosure here. Oh wow, Nixon is a diehard Oklahoma Thunder fan. Oklahoma City Thunder fan. He used to cape for Kevin Durant.
I used to cape for Kevin.
He was a Sonics fan.
Yeah,
previously, I believe.
Yeah,
when they stole the Sonics,
those are my guys.
But yeah, so the Nicki thing with going after this, you know, citizen,
she knows it's true.
It's it's just a chink in the armor. Like it's just a bad look. And
think about it: if somebody was talking some shit that you knew was like way out there, you really going that hard after her? Like, I mean, she was pushing it with the whole "you're pushing 40" thing. Nicki's 33, fine. Like that's a technicality.
Okay.
Everything else she said is valid. Like, sis, you've been making albums for 10 years, and we still don't know shit about you.
I don't know if that's true.
How is that not true?
I think there's some personal stuff.
I'll give you the list.
We know about her relationship.
Listen, she dated Safari. She was signed to Young Money, and that's what else do we know about? She's from Queens. And she's Trinidadian.
I think a lot of
it. You had to dig deep to know that.
I think a lot of it is what's her singles versus what. Because there's some stuff on the Pink Print.
No, that's what
I'm saying. There's some content.
Pink Print taught you a lot about a circumstance, I think. But over the course of her career, Nicki Minaj hasn't really made an effort to make music other than what's really just going to give her the numbers she thinks validates her.
Right, and maybe
and
she
I
can't.
Think she, but she's also equipped, like there's a false equivalency there because she thinks that deserves
that gives her, you know, the right to be in a conversation with the Kendricks and the Drakes, and it just doesn't. Nah. Like, when I see her ranting
about
that shit,
I think she's inauthentic. I think that's really her issue.
When you see Nicki rant about why she should be in the same conversation with J. Cole and Drake and Kendrick, it's always 2x platinum this, 3x platinum that, this endorsement, this sales.
Right.
But it's like, that's not why we put those guys on that platform.
It's Mac OPI.
It begins with the bars, and then everything else follows. So she wants to lead with like numbers, and then be like, "Oh yeah, by the way, I got."
Did she get lucky, kind of?
I think she did. I mean,
I don't think she got lucky. I think it was
I think a little bit.
I think the marketing was just fire. I mean,
was Nicki really that nice though?
That's my point.
Well, like, thing, like, so I'll like, put this.
Let's answer because that's gonna to me. That's
I got you right now. So the answer they
got right now.
The answer is that. I think there is a bit of timing and luck, maybe, because there wasn't. I can think of a female rapper at that time when she blew up.
Well, that's my point.
And she was able to not only create a career of her rapping ability, sounding good on music as a female rapper, but also create a hive, quote unquote, with the Barbies and stuff like that. And at that time, it was very good to galvanize a hive movement with Beyonce, because at the same time, I think Beyonce Hive. Just like the term Beehive was like created around that time.
Yeah.
So we had Barbies, we had Rihanna Navy, we had Nicki Minaj Barbies or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that she was able to galvanize that movement, and there were women. I mean, when it comes to like hood rat chicks, from like to be honest with you, like they loved that shit. They were loved from so Barbies. They loved getting their hair like her. I saw a whole summer girls were getting their hair pink and shit. Like everybody was really on board with it.
Definitely not confused as to why she got famous. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. But was she ever so not like to me? I think Nicki benefited most from being positioned next to Drake at every step for the first like 2 years of their careers. They had the joint XXL cover.
I'm gonna just keep throwing out Young Money with the label, it was like
Birdman was raising three kids. It was like Birdman was raising three kids, and you just felt Tiger, Wayne, and Drake. I mean, and Tiger,
yeah,
Drake,
no,
and
you gotta Drake, and Nick.
And you and you felt compelled to just stay tuned in with them. So everything Nicki did, I think people followed until the point she got so famous. But like when I, you know, if I didn't know Nicki was co-signed by Wayne, I didn't know she was on the cusp of being signed to Young Money. Da da da. When you go back and watch those Nicki videos, it's like, all right, I mean, yeah, this is cool, but this is not like. You know, I see the next biggest female rapper of the 21st century.
Can we talk about the fact that Tyga has another hit?
Yeah.
Oh, Taste?
I mean, Taste is this week is number 18 in the country.
It's rising still?
All right, so let's have this conversation right now.
So it's Lil Baby. Win. Let's have Lil Baby.
Who's going to have a better next 5 years, Tyga or Nicki?
I mean, it's still Nicki. Because this is my thing. You know what?
Tyga's a joke.
Tyga's a joke. I'm just shocked. I don't think that's the combo.
Tyga's been on Billboard for
that is a combo. The combo is that
Nicki versus Tyga's not.
Oh,
a combo.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I'm just saying for the next 5 years, who has a better run?
Nicki Minaj. Tyga is he's more. I want to make fun of him. Nicki is like his silently rooting for and want her to prove herself.
I don't know. She just keeps rooting for her.
I think at least I'll put it like this. But I don't want to say her win, but I want to see her prove that she deserves the perch that she has currently as female rapper.
I don't think you'll ever see that.
I know, and I don't think she ever cared about it.
You know what I think she will see, and the reason why Tyga can't have a better 5 years than her is because she can fall back, be in Barbershop 7, remain relevant, put out another song.
Music, though. Like,
right, but what I'm talking about is how you can kind of maintain your relevancy. Like, let's be real, right? Donald Glover is about to do Madison Square Garden as a musician. That's not happening if it's not for Atlanta. Not even close. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, nowadays we live in a world where, like,
you're... But you think Nicki's in a place where that stuff still has that much of an effect?
Yeah, like, because she... Because she reached a level. That's the thing within entertainment is, like, you reach a level where if you parlay it right, you can keep it going. Like, we mentioned this guy offhandedly. Like, even a guy like a Macklemore. Right, like he's reached a level where like he has a song right now that actually is like surprising. It's not like necessarily huge on Billboard, but it's like in a commercial, it's here, and he can do that kind of shit because he reached a level. And I think Nicki has that perk, like,
yeah,
and that's why Tyga can't beat her.
Yeah, bro. I mean, to be honest, Tyga's kind of like the cockroach of the industry, in my opinion, because he just
won't die.
Yeah, but I mean, he was out with like Nick Cannon with that Lime and the Coconut song. Like, yeah, I remember that was the first time I ever heard.
I was a big Tyga fan after that. That album was dope.
I think it was in a music video or some shit like that, whatever.
That Tyga No Introduction album was dope.
Yeah, and he has some mixtapes too. I mean, there was There was one where he rapped over Black and Yellow, and it was actually pretty good.
The tapes he did with Chris Brown were the fire.
Yeah.
Like, they were and the then most it
was
kind
of like. The album was great, too. The Fan of a Fan album was great.
That first Fan of a Fan tape, though, with G-Shit.
See, I actually don't know that one.
Oh, my goodness,
what was
yo.
The standout from that?
G-Shit and Holla At Me. Those two, yo, 2010. I really thought Chris Brown was like.
Yeah, but it's like.
Wait, did you hear Chris Brown is supposedly doing a project with Rich the Kid? Why?
I did hear that.
Why? What? Yo, I don't understand.
They probably bonded on some stuff.
Chris Brown put out maybe one of my favorite albums of last year. That was 45 tracks.
I was
going
to say with the 10 chapter
fucking I can't believe how much fire it was on that.
Every song.
I haven't listened to it yet. You actually did listen. So Nixon actually listened
to
it.
Oh, you finally listened to it.
So y'all wouldn't know this, but inside the Slack chat, we had a notification to remind.
Literally every day.
To remind Carrie Nixon to listen to
you know the funny fucking part? Chris Brown album. I'm a big Chris Brown fan.
Right, that's what was crazy. And I'm not. And I'm definitely not.
But I think that's why I was so off put. Because I'm such a big Chris Brown fan, I was afraid of that letdown. And then we're riding around like, where were we? In Midtown somewhere.
Yeah, to like DSW or some shit.
Five or six songs, two dudes riding around in a Camry listening to Chris Brown, and they slapped, bro.
Every song is fire. It's crazy.
It's too many songs. I haven't listened to one except for like the Drip or whatever because she was on the radio.
Pills and Potion. That Pills and Potion is crazy. A Boogie's.
Wait, so he named a song called Pills and Potions too?
No, that's the song. Pills and Automobiles.
Pills and Automobiles. Oh, I'm like, what the fuck? That was a Nicki Minaj song.
And just quick thing. Chris Brown album came out last year. But this year is the 33rd highest.
Because niggas just finished listening to it. The fuck.
Accurate.
Started that shit in December and finished it in April.
That's
You know what it's done better than?
What?
Kanye West.
Sorry. My fault. Carrie's dying over here.
Yo, I'm like, the
Chris
I think
Brown
I'm getting
album
something.
Released in November, I think it was. It's been done better. Yeah, I think it was on Thanksgiving. Done better than Kanye West. Yay. 6ix9ine, Day 69.
Who listened to that?
Sheck West? Sounds like Sheck.
West.
Do we want to talk about
Sheck? Did you guys see how he went off?
Did we finish the last thing we talked about? What was the last thing
we
talked about?
I mean, we weren't really going anywhere. Let's talk about a youngin' who
all right, so
youngin'.
Young Sheck West.
No, let's talk about someone young who's representing right.
Why
right?
isn't that song bigger? Why Which isn't Mo Bamba the biggest?
It is. It's what big. Do you mean? It's going to be the song of the year.
It's big.
Yo, but how is it taking this long?
Because he's still on
the video's been out since
this nigga has two songs. That's why. Like, literally.
No, but Mo Bamba is like the. To me, Mo Bamba should be like.
But it's my thing. For anybody to even be fucking with this song and him be a literal nobody.
Right, he's nobody.
It's dope. Like, he. Because, all right, I'll put it like this. I watched his Instagram live and I saw him perform that shit in the whole crowd. It was Travis Scott's show.
Right.
And he pulled him out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going fucking crazy. It's like, people know
that. No,
that
song
shit.
Is odd. Like, that song is
so great.
Oh, my fault. So, who's Sheck West, real quick?
Sheck West is. Should I give this synopsis?
Yeah.
I guess Sheck West is... Well, how I heard of Sheck West was earlier this year in February. It was actually...
heard it was he texted you because you fucking know it. Weirdo.
Oh, three weirdo. this is actually one of those Thursday nights after we had got done playing ball uptown. And then I had got home and I just remember seeing on... He came to Massfield, did an open space interview. And his name had been lingering in my head since then because I had to write the copy for it. And I, you know, realized I'd never heard of this kid that was supposedly being courted by Kanye West. I thought it was bullshit.
I've seen that interview.
He was courted? He supposedly. Kanye was in pursuit?
Yeah, I'm actually about to get into that. So okay.
Just that interview, I will say, like, having seen it and not knowing anything about the kid, like, you can kind of tell there's something there.
Something different, right. Yeah.
Like, he's not an idiot. That's why he's not BB... Right. Rexa Goyard.
Yeah. That's why I said it had been lingering because as I had to write the copy for it so I could go on YouTube, I had to watch it a few times and you know the things he had been saying were in my head. So somebody had just dropped the link to this song called Mo Bamba on my Twitter feed and way back in February. And bro, when I tell you, so I'm gonna just paint the picture for you because you know I'm very hyperbole with my reactions to things sometimes. But I need you to understand the zone I was
a lot of times
young hyperbole.
So
young hyperbole.
I came home.
That's another word I pronounce incorrectly.
Hyperbole?
That's a weird
hyperbole?
One.
That, no, I used to say that a lot. I used to say that a lot.
It's hyperbolic. It's hyperbole.
No, I thought it was hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
I thought it was hyperbole.
Hyperbole, right.
No, hyperbolic. Hyperbolic.
No.
Nah.
It's hyperbolic.
Hyperbolic?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to know my way? You know my pet peeve of all time? What? When people say biopic. It's bio.
I say that all
it's
the
a
time.
Biopic.
I say all
it's
the time.
It's a biopic. It's a biography.
But you know what it is? It's because
it is biopic. I don't know.
You know what it is? Because I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
I think a biopsy.
But that's not what it is. It's a biography.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that was weird.
Did you see that
moment? I was thinking biopsy and
I just said, I was like, that's where I got it from. I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy, and they say biopsy a lot. So, you know, it's biopsy, biopsy.
You do watch a lot of Grey's
Anatomy. I'm a big fucking Grey's Anatomy fan. Yo, shout out my homegirl, Christina Oh, first Asian woman nominated for an Emmy. We out here.
Shit. We said we out here. Why? Who's we?
That's my bitch.
That's
my bitch.
You want to try again? Her name's not Christina Oh.
I mean, that's her name in the show, isn't it?
No, her name is Susie O, isn't it?
Oh, is it Susie? Christina Susie, tomato, tomato. Anyway, Jamal Sheck West.
I think we're both wrong.
Susan West. So, but yeah, so anyway, so I get home after, I think I splashed y'all for like 15 at night. So I'm feeling myself, right? So I get in the crib.
Lies.
Are we though? We could have your brother. So anyway, the point is, I was feeling myself, so I got in the crib. You know, I put a little something in the air. You know how that goes. It's 2 in the morning. I just finished watching this epic Blazers Timberwolves game.
Sandra Oh. It was great. Just came to me.
Okay. So it was a nice night. So I turned the video on. Bro, I felt like I was watching something that I hadn't seen in so long. Like,
what's the name of
this? Is Mo Bamba. Yeah.
Mo Bamba video.
The Mo Bamba video.
We'll get into the meaning.
And it's like, at the time, super, maybe 100,000 views. But I, you know, it was viral on Twitter, the tweet that I found it in. So I knew people had heard it. So I knew people had heard it. But yeah, what I thought, I still to this day, like, even it's funny, we were having a video, best videos of the year meeting not too long ago, and for the life of me, I couldn't specifically write down exactly what I thought was so great about the video. But there's just,
you don't want to just go with wheelchairs.
That's like, what I'm saying. I mean, the wheelchair is great, but
what do you even call those scooter wheelchairs?
I think it's a scooter
because they're like the automated wheelchairs. I think it's a scooter,
yeah.
Scooter.
But I think, you know, because even that, like,
middle America fat people.
So imagine trying to describe that to somebody. Somebody's like, "Yo, what's so great about that video?" And I'm like, "You know what? There's just a kid in courtyard in a wheelchair. Like, it doesn't translate. But then when you watch it." It's like, yeah, the Jordan jumpsuit with the crutches and the fucking wheelchair. And
does he have a trench coat on, too?
And the Tekashi doppelganger that screams after the ball goes through the hoop. Like, all that weird random shit just comes together and creates this, like, gumbo of a hell of a music video. And the energy, like, you feel it. Like, it translates. Like, you know what I noticed? Even right before the beat drops, when he pulls up on that scooter and then he does this, like...
Oh, it's so good. I'm looking at it now.
Like, even how, even how they
can... Just his deadpan look.
I know.
He kind of looks like Chappelle. It's like great. When he stares at the camera, it's like that, like young Chappelle.
Where he rolls out from everybody, almost like, you know, it's almost like Lion King, where he's like, nah.
Well, you know, what it reminds me of a little bit is like how 2 Chainz flipped the whole, like, you know, having the fucked up leg and like turned it into like its own thing. Like, what's cool
to me, this is even greater because it's evident that his leg's not fucked up.
Wait,
which makes the whole thing performance.
Wait, you're saying his leg's not fucked up?
No, his leg's not fucked up.
Bro, he's wearing a cast the whole video. What do you mean?
That's all performance.
You're lying, bro.
No, that's all performance.
I can't figure out if that makes it better or worse.
Wait, hold on.
I think that makes it worse.
To me, that was the greatest thing about the video.
Before Mo Bamba, he had Lip Check West. Did he have the cast on back then too?
I thought that was the whole thing about him balling like a pro.
In Lip Check West, Da Check West, did he have the...
No, he didn't. He was fine in Lip Check West. And that came out a couple of weeks before. Well, listen, I thought that was the whole thing about balling like a pro.
No, Lip Check West came out a year ago. Mo Bamba came out in January. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Wait, the song or the video?
The video. I'm talking about the video.
The video came out? The
video came out a year ago.
Okay, so I definitely had that wrong. But...
I'm sorry. Way more than a year ago. March 2017.
Lip Check West.
Yeah.
No.
Really? Yeah. Because
when you all right. So what we heard about Check West, or at least I heard about Check West. I don't know if Spencer heard him before, but was Nixon was like, "Yo, Mo Bamba just dropped." I'm like, "Who?" I'm like,
"Oh yeah, no." That night you posted the video.
I was like, "The best player." Yeah. I'm like, "Wait, he dropped what? 50 points?"
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You were like dead confused. Like,
yeah, what do you mean he dropped? I was trying to remember.
I was
that
mad
night.
Confused.
It was the same night then. It was super late.
It was late at night.
Yeah. Oh, Mo Bamba's a basketball player.
No, that sounds right because I told every single person. With 2 ears for the next 48 hours about Mo Bamba.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my sister... Oh, I... This great story. I'm driving down Eastern Parkway with my sister.
Oh, my God.
I'm driving down fucking Eastern Parkway with my sister. We're about to go to my crib. And this is, like, one of the first warm... Not super warm, but one of the first days of the year where you could drive around with your car windows down and not be cold. So, me and my sister, both super hip-hop heads. Like, we're both playing our favorite joints. And then we play Mo Bamba. And we get to the light. You know the light at Grand Army Plaza?
Yeah.
Before you... get to Washington. So there's like a congregation of people coming from Flatbush, coming from Park Slope, coming from all over the place. There's this Asian chick that walks off the sidewalk in front of the museum as me and my sister are the first car at the red light. So she's crossing directly in front of our car right when the beat to Mo Bamba drops.
Yeah,
brother, when I tell you, she turned up so hard in that crosswalk.
Oh, like it, one of my two of my biggest regrets ever, moments that I did not get on video. That and when I almost knocked Beyonce over in VIP. That was a little humble brag. I'm gonna just leave that there. That almost happened.
Wait, didn't you also almost like kill somebody listening, like driving with Mo Bamba, and like the beat switched, and you like swerve with your brother, KC?
He didn't almost kill
somebody, but basically scare the life out of somebody.
Super inadvisable.
My little brother was in a very tragic car accident, and we're in the car
not too long ago,
and we're in the car with Carrie here, and he does because hyperbolic Nixon decided to just fucking swerve the car real quick when the beat dropped, and I was like, yo, I hope my little brother's not going through PTSD.
That was such a calculated move. Like, I checked my mirror 10 times and I still felt bad because I'm like, I know that's not running through Kai's head. Kai's like, this motherfucker.
Shout out to Kai.
Shout out to my dog. Yeah, I feel bad for that. So what, I love though.
What, with Sheck West, right? So a little backstory. We started to say he was courted by Kanye and Travis at the same time, it turns out.
They were separately, though, which is interesting.
Right, at the same time, but separately. Yeah. Kind of actually.
I think he kind of leveraged them against each other.
Right. Well, you know what's funny? I was actually listening yesterday to the Vic Mensa EP, There's a Lot Going On. Mm-hmm. And he was in a similar boat, too, where he was being, what's up?
I'm fascinated by that.
So he was being courted by Kanye and Jay-Z. They tried to do a joint venture. He ended up just going with Jay-Z. Sheck West. A little bit different in that he was getting courted by both of them. He ends up going with Travis, but under like the Travis Good
Cactus Jack,
like he's still good somewhat.
But he's good. He's Grand Hustle as well, though.
No. So the Travis thing.
Wait,
is,
Travis? Oh, I don't
Travis
know.
Is
Travis
not,
is Grand Hustle.
He's not Grand Hustle.
Oh, you were
Hustle.
Talking about Travis. Travis is just.
I don't know. I know it's super complicated.
I thought T.I. signed him, and Travis that's why he's on the first album.
There was never
it's super complicated.
Travis is Grand Hustle the way 2 Chainz is good music.
Yeah, which is to say he's not.
I mean, he
like officially.
He makes the crew. He doesn't make the.
Right. So, but Sheck West is on Travis Scott's Cactus Jack. And with Mo Bamba, he actually, because we talked about it, like we thought it was maybe just like an homage to like a player.
I thought
he
was just a
superhead.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out they grew up together.
They grew up together in Harlem, I think. Yeah.
Who?
Sheck West and Mo Bamba.
Oh,
Mo had asked him, like, when you blow up one day as a big rapper, like, make a song about me.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy that the song is blowing up right as Mo Bamba, you know, gets drafted by the Orlando Magic.
6 overall or 7 overall. Crazy.
He's on a pretty crappy team, so he very well could have a breakout year. Sure. You know,
he's already become somewhat transcendent. Like, you don't even have to follow, I think, college basketball because of the song, obviously.
What position does he play against?
He's center.
He's like Manute Bol tall, right?
He could play, yeah.
Well, he's also, like, he's very tall, but his, like, wingspan is, like, I think the biggest ever? Is that right?
The best way I'd ever seen it represented was, you know, when ESPN does those graphics where they show the starting lineups, they usually put, you know, the starting five all on the same level. They had shooting guard, they had point guard to power forward, so all four of those guys, and above them, they had Bamba with his arms stretched out.
And he reached all of them?
His arms stretched out above his four teammates with their arms stretched out. Exceeded the entire team's wingspan. I don't know if that was just the way it was positioned graphically, because you know they can change the scale of all that. But I just thought, you know, that was just the perfect like analogy for how fucking ridiculous that dude's wingspan is.
Yeah, now I'm excited to see what Sheck does. I know he has the Mud Boys coming
what
out.
What more do you think he's capable of?
I was about to ask.
I don't know if you read the interview he did with Pitchfork. I thought it was really interesting.
Fader.
No. He did a new one with
Pitchfork. Okay. No, I didn't read
actually
that.
A couple of days ago. It's funny because my team pulled a quote from it for a graphic where he says, I should pull it up because I don't want to butcher it, but it's to the effect of, I'm not the type of new kid that J. Cole's going to come for, making a Trippie Redd reference. I mean, a Lil Pump reference.
Lil Pump, yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm the guy that can go toe-for-toe to J. Cole, earn his respect. I'm the guy that could go. He said, I'll diss the fuck out of that nigga. He said, I'll diss Drake. I've been in a room with Migos and out-rapped all the niggas. That was the quote. So I'm.
That's not saying.
I don't know. You know what's funny?
To be,
and because
it's a little aggressive.
It's aggressive. And
he posted it, and he got really mad in the comments. Like, I had to smooth it over via.
Why? I mean, he said it.
Look, he says, this is fucked up because I'm a young nigga who got hit with all y'all industry bullshit. Niggas going lazy in the interview when these was questions asked and shit's all switched up.
Yo, I'm really tired of rappers blaming other people
for things they say.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Like, the lamest thing ever.
Like, yo, you know this was your
Like, you said this.
It's the same shit. It's funny. It's the same shit with politics, too. It's like, oh, the media. It's like, the words came out of your mouth. They came out of your fingers.
And you and tweeted them. This is not 2013 where it's like, you're just learning how the internet news cycle
And I'll
works.
Give people like, the benefit of doubt that, oh, like, they think the context. But certain things, regardless of context, you're saying, fuck Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, all right, you're saying fuck Jay-Z no matter what the context is. Those words came
So forth, when you know I mean? Said you love my style, you've been on my dick, I didn't mean
right.
But the point of that got me thinking, like, I mean, that the bar he set is low as fuck. If you can get in a room and out rap the Migos, congrats. I hope you don't miss work tomorrow.
Yeah,
but
Llama.
No disrespect, because I think Offset's a better than average rapper. But anyway,
not Takeoff.
Yeah.
Who's the best?
At times, I think
Offset in a vacuum, who's the best rapper?
Offset. I think it's Offset.
Yeah, I'd say Offset has the best. He's the best rapper. Takeoff, best flow.
I think Takeoff might have
best flow.
I think so, because I think if you take,
I don't like Takeoff's flow. Because
think about every time you've heard Takeoff and Love Them, though, it's been in that double time. Yeah. Like, I Get the Bag.
If you know me,
the Cardi B song, which he has the best verse on. Offset, I think you
which song?
The Cardi B song, Drip. Yeah.
I don't even know that. Yeah, I love Takeoff's flow. He's just not.
But you know, Offset, you can slow Offset down.
Offset really impressed me with the 21 project, Metro Boomin, just because like
that
the way he rides
so
like some of the beats and like I got to give him credit for that.
All right, but you're talking about
the reason I brought that up is because I'm, you know, as big as Mo Bamba is, it's pretty clear. I mean, this guy's already being brought out at Governor's Ball by the headliner, so you know he's obviously about to have a. Probably pretty meteoric next few months, next couple of years. How much more than Mo Bamba can he do? Is he destined to just give us two or three more Mo Bambas and then fade into the background, or is he actually going to develop into the type of artist that's worthy of, you know, the type of backing?
It helps that he has Travis Scott on his side. I feel like that's a great pairing.
I don't know if it helps though, because we don't really know what
I could see it being limiting too. I don't know which way it goes. I think the best sign for someone like Sheck West to develop into a great career is you know, it's funny because you just said some of the things he said and they kind of sound like typical, like annoying, like trying to puff my chest out
like
rapper
that.
Tropes.
I actually didn't like that.
But when I think back to the interview he did with you guys for Open Spaces, I really liked what I saw. Like, I saw someone who is intelligent,
thought about what he was going to say.
Yeah, and just has something. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a good sign to me.
And that translates in the video too.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at it, like 10 other artists can make that video and it probably doesn't come across.
Hasn't he put out, my only concern with
him,
he
put out a few other records.
Right, because he's put out something like since Mo Bamba that's like not that great.
He put out the Chippy Chippy, which was okay, I thought. There's another record, I think.
Do That. Isn't Do That new?
Is it Do That?
Do That's on Cactus Jack.
That one's decent.
Yeah, see, I don't, like, I have it on my Apple Music. I don't think I've listened to it.
How the Boy Do That?
How the boy?
Yeah, that's
cool.
Chippy Chippy is one.
Chippy Chippy also. You know what it is? I think he needs to put out one album so we know what type of rapper he wants to be.
Right.
Because I don't think we know
what lane.
Because you could say that you could rap circles around J. Cole, but are you going to be a J. Cole type of rapper? Are you going to be a Migos type? It's too.
I just think it's
a spectrum in terms of saying that.
Well, I think his thing. I mean,
he's not that kind of rapper.
I was
going to
say
he's not a J. Cole.
He's raw emotion.
He'll never be that kind of rapper. The context he said, like, the J. Cole thing came directly after he was trying to, I guess, shine a light on Live Sheck West, Die Sheck West. Because I think he low-key thinks that's the better song, which it probably is on the low. Mo Bamba's blowing up for more obvious reasons, like the video and the Kanye West Coast song.
And the basketball player.
Yeah, exactly. But I think...
I'm telling you, come NBA season, when ESPN puts that on,
except he's the N-word. He's like my nigga.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not only that,
is there a radio edit? There's probably a radio edit.
Yeah, I think so.
Like
the Magic are going to, like, centralize that song, and they're going to be on
that. Should be their intro music.
They're going to be on national TV a few times this year, so yeah, it's going to be. But I think he feels that Live Sheck West is more representative of the artist he thinks he can be.
Yeah.
And I think his point was that, like, people don't really think about Live Sheck West as a song where he's actually saying something, and he was trying to make the point that he is.
It was his first song. I mean, we didn't know what he was trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he was just trying to do the whole, like, the South got something to say type thing. Even though he's not from the South, he's trying to, like, make the point that, like, I don't have to sound like J. Cole to be saying some shit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, remains to be seen. I think he is saying some shit on Live Sheck West. It's not, like, fucking dramatic. Like, he's just talking about being broken and you know, reckless. And, you know, but, you know, I guess it's more than he offers on my mind.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. 92 Bricks Podcast, episode 3.5, Mo Bricks Edition. Please subscribe, rate, like, refer for a friend, tell your moms, spread the word, and definitely follow us on Instagram. That's 92 Bricks Pod, 92 BRICKSPOD. That's where we'll be making our announcements, such as, our new sponsorship with Maybe Today NYC, where you can get 30% off all the fly clothing on the website with the offer code BRICKS. Like, we give you a lot of shit for free here. We're free podcast. We can give you this 30% discount. What more can you want? So definitely check out and follow Maybe Today NYC on Instagram. Check out the website, maybetodaynyc.com. Make sure you throw that 30% on with that offer code BRICKS. And we'll be back next week with some fresh new content. And we hope you enjoy. Peace. 90, 90, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290, 290,